With the second scripture reading today, we finish our brief sermon series on Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans, the fifth chapter. I will begin reading at verse 12 and read through the rest of Romans 5. This morning, I would like to invite you to ponder with me the theme, free gift. Hear the word of God. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all, because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more simply, much more surely, have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The law came in with the result that the trespass multiplied, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that just as sin exercised dominion in death, so grace might also exercise dominion through justification, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. A few weeks ago, I sat in MacArthur Theater here in Princeton listening to the jazz singer Gregory Porter and the incredible musicians that surround him. I have quoted Gregory Porter songs, dropped in audio of Gregory Porter's music in sermons. Here's a tip. Go home and look up Gregory Porter, Take Me to the Alley, and you won't regret it. We were sitting that night in the balcony. In the balcony to the left of the stage, and it felt like we had a better view to watch how the musicians communicate with each other. There are those moments in a jazz concert when the singer just walks away from the microphone and then lets the instrumentalists take over. And then one by one, they take turns with the improvisation as the others keep the piece moving. And it's intriguing to watch how musicians communicate with one another. Watch how they communicate with one another in those moments of handing off one solo to another. Sometimes I imagine a musician is just intuitively counting bars in the chord progression and transitions from one solo to another that way. Sometimes they make eye contact with one another. And other times, amid a long, complex riff that seems to stray far from any semblance of the melody, the musician comes back to the phrase, to a phrase or just a few notes of the familiar melody, and it signals the return and the handing off the invitation for someone else
to take the lead. I was sitting that night with a few very gifted musicians in the theater, and it wasn't lost on me that they were watching as intently as they were listening. The last half of the fifth chapter of the book of Romans that I just read to you is a long, complex riff on the theological melody of justification by faith, reconciliation to God, and abundant grace. The genre is not improvisation, but rather rhetorical argument. And it has the kind of density to it that note-taking might be recommended. Unlike some of the Apostle Paul's soaring rhetoric elsewhere, in Romans, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Or in Philippians, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection of the dead. The second half of Romans chapter 5 flows more like an equation or a proof in algebra, yet like a jazz riff. There are those few notes Paul comes back to. A few notes that don't just sound familiar. They come from the melody of Paul's entire New Testament corpus, but you have to have ears to hear and eyes to see it buried in the argument. What ought to leap off the page or echo in your ear is the term free gift. But the free gift is not the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Free gift. And the free gift is not like the effect of one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but free gift following many trespasses brings justification. Free gift. Much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Free gift. Over and over again, in the heart of Paul's argument, free gift, yada, 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 free gift, yada, 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 free gift, yada, 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 free gift, the free gift of righteousness. Not our righteousness, of course, but his. The abundance of the grace of Christ and the free gift of his righteousness. Free gift. It's not only familiar, it ought to bring to mind some other tunes in Paul. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, Ephesians, the second chapter. They long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that God has given you. Thanks be to God for God's indescribable gift, 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. There is no distinction since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They are now justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6. Free gift. Long time ago, I hosted a small group in our home. It was quite a mixed up group of longtime Nassau members, relatively new folks, some retired clergy in the mix. There was probably a seminarian there as well. And I remember after several weeks, I opened one of our evenings together with a question along the lines of, what about being Presbyterian was meaningful or important to you? What about being Presbyterian is meaningful or important to you? The first response that night was an immediate one. And it didn't come from the clergy or a seminarian. person said, "For me, it's just so much about grace. God's grace, saved by grace." And then others joined in. "It's such a gift, the life of faith. It's about gift implementation. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. I can't control it," someone else said. "Not your own doing, not your own doing, not your own doing," somebody repeated. "The immeasurable riches of God's grace, grace beyond description. God's love for me, even me, just me, saved by grace." The whole conversation in our living room that night was an improvisation on saved by grace and the free gift of grace. The Apostle Paul certainly hits on it often in just a few verses, free gift. In and of itself, it sounds redundant, right? It's a gift. If a gift were not free, it really wouldn't be a gift. In the Greek text, the free part is implied in one word itself, charisma, a gift freely and graciously given. The translators must add "free" for emphasis, because the gift being free ought to be readily apparent, obvious, and come with plain common sense. Plain common sense, like a sign in an aquarium that reads, "No swimming in the shark tank." Apparent, obvious, plain, common sense. But the sign is there for one particular reason. Someone at some point took a dip in the shark tank. So perhaps the translators go for emphasis with free and gift, because the scholars, the theologians, the preachers, the listeners, the church, the followers of Jesus, we all know how hard it is to accept, to live by, and to proclaim the gift of God's abundance of grace and the gift of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. A few months before the pandemic began, the session of Nassau Church, our ruling body, offered a new vision statement. And one of the phrases from that statement you hear often, you heard it in our words of welcome today, that here at Nassau we welcome the breadth of humanity and the challenge of the gospel. I imagine most often we think of the challenge of the gospel as the disciplines of the life of discipleship, or the teachings of Jesus that are most challenging to how we live our life and the opinions we hold, or the constant unrelenting call to work for justice and love your neighbor and show mercy. But I wonder if here in this historic university town of Princeton, New Jersey, where the heights of achievement are etched everywhere in stone, where success in our communities is expected and clearly defined, where our identity is shaped and influenced by pretty much everything other than being a child of God, here in these pews at Nassau Church, the biggest challenge of the gospel might be this: by grace you have been saved. It's a free gift. The challenge of the gospel is the truth that there is absolutely nothing you can do. By grace you have been saved. Nothing you can learn. By grace you have been saved. Nothing you can earn. By grace you have been saved. Nothing you can fix. By grace you have been saved. Nothing you can control. By grace you have been saved. Nothing you can do. It's a free gift. Surrendering, receiving, saying yes to God's grace. It's much less like a college application where you try to write the perfect essay, and much more like an infant who can do nothing but cry out. Much less like an exhortation to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and work hard and seize an opportunity, and much more like being stranded in an airport realizing no phone call, no elite status, no amount of sweet talk or belligerence is going to get you home. much less like some kind of mandate of privilege or rights guaranteed, and much more like finding yourself in a crowd of nameless folks just like you, taking one day at a time, powerless before the forces that be in the world. Surrendering, receiving God's grace. It is contrary to everything, absolutely everything, that you and I have been taught. Because it really is a free gift. A friend and colleague, Neil Plantica, recently published a collection of morning and evening prayers, so I conclude with this, one of his evening prayers. Refuge of all who suffer, we look for shelter in the shadow of your wings. Rain and hail and wind beat on your wings, but they do not fold. They are spread out like Jesus' arms on the cross, spread out to protect all who seek shelter beneath them. O God, wondrous in love for sinners, we give you thanks for your saving grace. You do not hold against us our treachery and neglect, but let them drop. You do not hold against us our conceit and indifference, but let them go. We have been saved by grace through faith, and all of this is your gift. Surely there is none other like you, O God. Spread your protective wings over us as we sleep. In Jesus' name, amen.